Blog Talk Radio.
I'm about to reveal the tales of your life. Too many secrets are locked inside your mind, but you're all equal in life, equal in love.
I know you're gonna dig this.
All right, let's go. Hey, yo, this is John from Hip Talk Radio. You're listening to Paranormal Talk with my homegirl, Annette Jones. Make sure you keep it locked for tarot card reading. A lot of interesting stories going on here. Paranormal Talk, Annette Jones. One love.
She was a fast machine. She kept the motor clean. She was a fast damn woman that I ever seen. She had a fantasize, telling me no lies, knocking me out with those American thighs.
Good evening, everybody. It is March 3rd, and this is Paranormal Talk. I'm your host, Annette Jones, and seeing as it is the first Tuesday of the month, we have joining us tonight animal psychic extraordinaire Tim Link. Welcome to the show again, Tim.
Well, it's always great to be here. I can't believe the months just fly by, don't they?
They sure do. As a matter of fact, next month is going to be our one-year anniversary of having Tim on the show every month.
Can you believe that? You and the listeners have put up with me for a whole year. I think there's a badge of honor in that or something.
There's bound to be somewhere, you know, or, you know, a letter of condolence or something anyway.
Exactly. Well, we're gonna cook up something special. So everybody listen in, everybody download this show, because next month we'll need you to call in and talk to us, because we're going to be offering something special, something so special Annette doesn't even know about it yet. So we're going to cook up something really good to celebrate this one-year anniversary.
Does Tim know about it yet?
I think I've got some good ideas. I think I got some stuff that everybody wants. So we'll see if we can give you a little bit more of it.
All right, Jill, just keep me informed, would you?
I'll let you know at least 2 seconds before we go on air next month.
Okay. All right. That'll work. Okay. We're starting to get some people in the chat room. So, hi, Brian, and hi to Party. Welcome to the show. And so tonight, before we get started on the photos that have been submitted already, I wanted to talk about training your dog.
Training the dog. Well, you know, this is a critical thing. You know, people ask me often, you know, when is it that we should get our, you know, pets into training? And this includes obedience training as well as agility training, socialization training, all of these things. And really, the answer is you can't get started soon enough. It's very important whether you have a puppy or whether you have an existing dog to get them socialized. Bless you.
Thank you.
But you know, get them involved. You want to get them socialized where they're comfortable around people, because if you're going to have guests come to your door, if you're going to have a delivery guy come to your door, you want them to be comfortable around that. You want them to be comfortable around other pets, because you have other pets in your household, or your friends have pets, or you take them to grandma's house for the holidays, and she has pets, so you want to get them comfortable around pets. Agility training, keep them not only physically active, but challenge them mentally, which is very, very important. And obviously, obedience training, as we call it, you know, command training, certain things that you want them to do so they can listen to you and have a better quality of life. So I think it's very important to get them started. And if you have an existing dog and you haven't done it, by all means, you can't. You know, the old saying of you can't teach an old dog new tricks is definitely not true.
That's not true.
not true at all. So, and I'm a perfect example of that. So.
Me too. I'm a pretty old dog over here too.
That's
but,
right.
Now, I know, you know, the actual canine dogs, they'll learn up until the day they die, because when I first moved it back in with my ex-husband, he had a dog, a blue heeler, that was 8 years old, something like that, and I taught him all kinds of tricks, because of course he was a very smart dog to start with.
Right.
So that helps well.
It's very true, and you have to look at your pets just like you do yourself. My belief is humans start to have more issues as they get older when they're not physically active and they're not mentally active. That's when you run into problems. So if you're expecting your pet to live a long life, just like you're expecting yourself to live a long life, you want to keep them physically active, keep them mentally active as well. So get them out there.
Okay.
Get them involved. Mix it up a little bit.
Okay. Let's talk about some specific kind of training, like the one that everybody dreads and that is the most important one if you want to keep a clean house. And that's potty training them, house training them.
Exactly.
Now, what are your tips on how do you potty train a puppy?
Well, one of the things I do, first of all, you got to go into it with the expectation that you're going to be successful. That's
right.
The key thing, because everything to do with training has to come from the human first. And you've got to be positive about it, and you got to put out that positive energy that you're going to succeed. Now, secondly, you want to make sure you're communicating with your animal. Make sure he knows what is the proper things to do. What are the proper things you're expecting from him to show you when he has to go potty? Set the ground rules. Set the expectations. Make sure he understands what it is you want from him, how he can do it, and why it's going to be a good thing for him is another big important thing. And then the key thing, I think the biggest thing that people run into problems is they think that their puppy, especially, can go long periods of time without going outside.
Right.
And they're also afraid that, you know, if they start, well, you know, Tim, if I start taking him out every hour on the hour, then he's going to grow accustomed to that. Well, that's not actually true. You want to get him out there frequently. You want to get him into that routine of going to the door, getting the leash, if you have him on leash, if you have a big backyard, going to the door, waiting for your set command, waiting for your wait command to open the door. Set all those things and do that on a regular basis every hour. Do that every hour until you get them used to the routine, get them used to the plan. And then you can start working on spreading it out a little further and a little further. And I think we've all learned the days of over-expecting them to understand without explaining. Those days are gone. You can't rub their nose in it. That does absolutely no good. Once
right.
It's done, it's done. They don't know what they did wrong. They don't know why you're punishing them, putting their nose into the issue. So if they do the business, then you clean it up and you tell them what they did wrong and what you need from them and why it's going to be a good thing. But you got to get into that routine. You got to get the expectation set up early on.
Okay. So Now, if you catch them in the act of, you know, peeing on something or pooping, if you pick them up and carry them outside while they're in the middle of it, does that do any good, or do you just wait till they're done?
You tell them stop, and you get them distracted off of what they're doing. Believe me, they'll stop, and then you get back to the routine. Get back to what you're expecting, going to that back door, grabbing the leash, taking them out, doing the set, stay, wait commands, and getting them out there. If you're picking up is bringing them closer to you. And picking them up, bringing them closer to you, it can be viewed as a reward or for doing something good. It's just like when you grab your dog and give it a big hug. That's a reward. They love that loving and touching. So if they're urinating on the floor and you pick them up, even if it's to take them outside, they're drawing closer to you. And they'll register that, hey, you know, that's not a bad thing I'm doing. So make them stop, break their distraction, you know, break their concentration on what they're doing at that time, get them to the normal routine that you use to when you let them outside.
Okay. Now, I am not someone who is used to having puppies because every dog I've ever had has been a grown-up already by the time I've gotten it. But the one or two times that now Copter, when we first got him, he was a totally outside dog before we got him, so he didn't quite know the rules, although he did pick him up really quick. So, you know, the first time I caught him peeing on the furniture, which was a lot of fun, let me tell you, I screamed because it was just like, ah! You're peeing on my furniture. Now, is that bad?
Well, yet peeing on the furniture is bad, yes. Screaming when he doesn't know the ground rules, yes, that's probably bad too. But that's a normal reaction. Whenever an animal goes into a new situation, they're going to If they don't know what's expected of them, if they don't know the routine, they don't know the setup of the house, then you run the risk of them urinating or defecating inside the house. You also have territory things. When they walk into a new location, especially if there's other animals around, they'll want to mark their territory. So you have to explain to them ahead of time, and you have to get those ground rules put in place as soon as you get into the new situation. And once that's established, they're quick learners. They're very smart, and they can catch on rather quickly on what you expect out of them.
Right, right. He did, actually. I only had to I only screamed twice.
That's right.
And every time I did, I'd go to the back door, and I'd open it up, and he'd go on out and finish his business outside. So it only took twice before he got the idea.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Yeah, you set the expectation.
Well, and he was an older dog as well. It takes puppies a little longer to get the idea, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, puppies you can be viewed as, you know, just like your children. A young child, it takes a little while for them to figure out the routine. When they're in their diapers and they're allowed to go all the time, and all of a sudden you're starting to teach them to potty train to use the toilet, that's a whole new routine for them. It's very easy for them to get distracted. It's very easy for them to fall back into old habits of just going whenever they want to go. So you've got to set those standards and expectations as early as possible and stick to them. Get a routine in place, stick to it.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, I think that about covers potty training.
Good. I'm glad I got that one out of the way.
So let's talk about one more while we're at it to kind of get the method down, because you pretty much use the same method for all tricks that you're going to teach them, or, you know, the obedience or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the best way to teach them, you know, your basic command is sit. That's the one they all learn.
Right.
What's the best way to go about that?
First of all, you need to make sure that if you're wanting to use the word sit, whatever you're expecting them to do with the word sit, that you're consistent with it. Now, that may sound silly because you're saying, okay, well, sit means sit. You know, he's down, you know, he puts his butt on the floor and he's sitting there. And that's not always the case. Some people use the word sit and they expect it meaning sit equals stop. So, you know, stop what you're doing, sit. So you got to set that, first of all, set your command up to match what you're wanting. That's the key thing, and don't alter from that. Sit is sit, stop is stop, stay is stay, and be consistent. Then it's just repetition. It's explain to them what you're wanting, how they need to do it, and why it's going to be good for them. And so you're telling them to sit. If you need to do a light touch on the back of their hindquarters to get them to sit until they get used to sit equals the back hindquarters going down, after you do that a few repetitions, they should get the hint of what's going on. And they'll know through your teaching and being consistent with it that the word sit means me putting my hindquarters on the ground.
And how important is it to reward when they do it correctly?
Constantly reward them. And the key thing here is you don't necessarily have to use treats. You don't have to use a lot of treats. You can use simply pats on the head, praising verbally. Simple commands like that are much better than loading them down with treats. If your pet is very food, it's very drawn towards food. Some animals are, of course, all animals like food, but, you know, certain ones are really key towards eating food. Then you can do the treats, do the soft treats, keep a small pouch on your belt clip, but just use small amounts. Just use, you know, little tidbits of it and put it in the palm of your hand and have them eat it from you, from your palm of your hand. You know, keep it simple. You don't want to overload them with too many treats, and you don't want them to associate that everything they do, they get a treat. Because then you're sitting establishing that, you know, the 10 commands you've taught them plus going outside equals treat. Well, next thing you know, they're going to be doing them all the time and expecting a treat.
Right.
So it can be anything, just praising them, loving them, giving them big kudos on doing a good job is reward enough for them.
Okay. Okay, so now what about, like, if you do want to reward with treats, how about, like, taking their regular-sized dog biscuit and breaking it up into little pieces? So they actually only get one treat. It's just broken up into little pieces.
Yeah, you can definitely do that, and they're also you can do little pieces of jerky, or what's even better for them, give them fresh vegetables. Get the small peeled washed carrots, the little tidbit carrots, and have them. Now they're getting a healthy treat and a reward. Most of the dogs love those as long as there's no allergy towards carrots. So you can implement little green bean snaps, little carrot snaps, little broccoli snaps as a reward to them, little apples, you know, peeled with no seeds, of course, but little apples for them. So go the healthy route. You don't have to do necessarily the processed foods or the fat-laden type treats like you would find in a jerky.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and start talking about our first photo here, which is actually candy. And let's see. For those who are listening to the archive and don't know the website yet, the website where you can see the photos of the animals that we're going to talk about tonight is www.mytarotdreams.com/pets. And I'm going to type it in the chat room so that everybody that's in the chat can get there. mytarotdreams.com/pets. Okay, and that's where you can go and see the photos. Now we're going to talk about Candy first. And Candy's mom sent in her photo because Candy's getting a little older and she wants to know if there's anything that she needs to be concerned about or watching out for.
Yeah, now that's, I'm guessing Candy's got to be in her mid to late teens, I would guess. Did she happen to say how old she was?
No, she
okay.
didn't.
Okay.
She just said she's getting older.
Okay. Well, Candy is a poodle, so you know there's always if you look at poodles and as they get older, there are always issues with skin conditions, always issues with eye conditions and hearing. So you want to be cognizant of those three areas. Make sure that you're getting her in on a regular basis to get her checked up. But I'm getting more things from her from the eye aspect, some visualization things. It seems like it's a little cloudy to me. I'm not sure if she has, I can't really tell in this picture if she has any eye issues or not, but it really feels like it's kind of irritated, cloudy type of situation. So you want to make sure you're getting those checked out, make sure there's no diseases that are creeping up on her, anything with cataracts, those type of things. You have to watch out when she gets older. I'm feeling a little bit in the chest area too. I don't know if it has to do with allergies or maybe just a change in environment. If Candy's been indoors a lot lately, then could be developing some sort of just environmental type of allergen getting into your system, but it feels a little heavy to me right now. So keep an eye out on that.
All right.
And I'm wondering what I don't know if there's another dog in the situation in the household or not, or if there's one that visits. But she seems very interested in that. So if you've been talking about getting another puppy, but you don't want to hear your puppy to know that you're talking about another puppy, then be very careful. They pick up on those things rather easily. So make sure you're keeping them in the loop. And if you don't want them to know that there's another animal present or you're thinking about getting a mate for it, then a pal for it, then be careful what you say around her because she'll pick up on it.
Okay. All right, and that takes care of Candy. Now, the next three photos, they're all of Nova. And this is my friend Gracie's cat, Gracie from the UK. Now, she took this photo, that first photo of Nova, and there's this shining thing, like right on top of Nova's head.
Mm-hmm. Like a little orb.
And she doesn't, know exactly what it is. And right below that is a close-up of that, and then to the right, is immediately after that photo was taken with the little shiny thing.
Interesting.
And she was wondering if you could tell her what it was, if what was going on. Any information you could give her at all about that?
That's very interesting. I mean, I'm not picking up. I'm not personally picking up an orb. What was your thoughts on it, Annette?
I see. It kind of looks like a reflection of something to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking
like
too.
Like maybe there's a bead of water on the cat's head or something. But I'm not convinced of that.
Yeah.
Obviously, or it could possibly be a bug, but it looks awfully bright to be a bug. but on the other hand, I really have no idea. I don't have a clue, to tell you the God's honest truth. I really don't have a clue.
Yeah, and from what Nova's telling me, Nova doesn't know it's there. So really doesn't seem like to know what we're talking about. Yeah, it's pretty much why you asking me this. So there's Nova's thinking I'm pretty stupid right now for asking that question because Nova has no idea
right.
what I'm talking about right now. But it does look like a little orb on there, and it is. These things are always fascinating when you take a picture and you see a white spot or a little shiny spot on the animal or near the animal. Then the very next freeze frame picture you take, it's gone. And there's nothing changed in the camera. There's nothing changed in the lights in the household.
Right. The only thing different between the two photos is that Nova has her head turned.
She does have her head turned. Yeah. So I think
there's.
Yeah. My thought is it'd be really cool if it was an orb. Then we could talk to it and see what's going on. But I'm not picking. I'm sorry. I'm not picking it up. I'm picking it. It is some sort of. It feels like a reflection, and Nova's not telling me it's any different. But, the curious thing about this, take peeks at your animals, watch them every once in a while. Sometimes they'll be staring off into a corner in the wall or staring up at something towards the ceiling, and we'll be looking up there thinking, what in the world are they doing? What are they looking at the ceiling for? And in reality, it's, it very well could be someone coming back for for a visit. It could be another animal that has transitioned, coming back to do another, to do some more teaching, to do another imprint for the animals in the household. They're very in tune with it, so it's always a cool thing to take a moment and look at what they're staring at and see if you can pick up anything as well, because it does happen.
Okay.
But
all right.
not picking up any orbs. Sorry. yeah. I'm sure. Have you had situations like that?
Yeah, I have. There's been situations that have come up where, I call it playing with invisible kitty things on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Because, they're looking up at stuff and kind of batting at things that nobody else can see.
That's right. And so these are energies coming down to visit, coming into that plane. And obviously animals can see on a different plane than we can. And they're also a lot more sensitive than we are, and they're a lot less bogged down with questioning what they're seeing or feeling than we are.
Right.
And so they will. You'll catch them. They'll be picking up on the energy that's in the house, and it's not always a bad energy either. I mean, that's the key thing to think about.
Yeah.
It's not a situation where you've got negative energy or bad energy coming in. It could be just.
Well, I'd say it's not usually a bad energy, because if it was a bad energy, you could tell. Because they wouldn't be playing with it and just staring at it. They'd be running.
That's right,
and
exactly.
And sitting and barking and growling.
That's right. That's why you see all the horror movies. You never see animals sticking around to see what's going to happen next.
No. Animals have the most sense of anybody. If there's something bad there, they get the heck out of Dodge.
They're gone. And that's true. In the wildlife, we've seen that a lot, when the tsunamis hit. All the animals went up to higher ground long before the tsunamis actually hit. So animals are very sensitive to this, and they know when there's something good there, and they know when there's something bad there. And if it's bad, they move on. They're not like us, where we hear a noise downstairs and we feel compelled to go down there in our PJs to find out what's going on.
Instead of locking the
door and calling 911 and letting them figure it out.
Yeah, well, men especially, you feel the need to go downstairs wearing nothing but your underwear and carrying a baseball bat. So, yeah.
Exactly. Especially when we haven't swung
a lot of good.
Exactly. Especially since we haven't swung a baseball bat since we were a teenager. So.
Yeah, no kidding.
Never a good thing. Never a good look either.
All right. Now, we have Tom in our chat room that's saying that he has a ghost dog that lives in his room.
A ghost
now,
dog?
A ghost dog.
Okay. All right.
Can you give him any insight on that? His name is, I can't pronounce his last name. His name is Tom, and he's in the chat room.
Yeah, so I'm guessing, Tom, you don't have animals right now, is what I'm guessing. And I think this is this a house or apartment that was previously owned? That would be a big question. Because it does feel like there's some energy there.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's energy that Tom's brought with him from elsewhere or if that was sort of left behind from whoever was in the house or apartment last.
Okay. Roykoff, so, that's how you pronounce his last name.
Roykoff, okay. So, Tom, throw us another chat out there. I'd be real curious, is this a previously owned residence, and do you have an animal now? Because I'm not getting another animal around.
Yeah, I think it's been previously owned. He just said it's a 200-year-old house.
Ooh,
and no, they don't have any pets right now.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, yeah. I think you got something there. I think it could be fun. It would be really interesting if you had another pet or had a friend bring a pet over, you know, do something of that sort, do some fostering or whatever to see what they pick up. We've had some incidents. One in particular, I'll do a plug for my new book coming out May 1st. But, okay, so the new book's coming out, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, coming out May 1st, and we'll keep you posted on, you can order it through all the major sources coming up next month. But in the book, there's a story about a cat that every evening at the same exact time would be sleeping on the couch and then all of a sudden jump up off the couch, run around the coffee table, run up the stairs, stop at the same spot every night, and let out a couple of meows. And then that was it. Same time, same routine, same everything. And there was not another cat in the household. And so we did some talking, and we found out what was going on. And there was a previous skinny black cat that was in the house, and it had it was a resale to my friend who owns the house now. And the skinny black cat had died in the house, and they had buried it back in the back garden. Now, when I was talking to her cat, who was telling me this story, her owner had no knowledge of any cat being there previously. There was no knowledge of any cat, what the color of the cat was, skinny black cat, and no knowledge of a cat being buried in the back garden area. And so the very next day, my friend contacted the previous owners. Said, this is going to sound kind of silly, but you know, I'm going to ask you this anyway. Said, did you have a skinny black cat? And they said, well, yes, we did. And she said, well, did it pass away when it was here in this house? And she goes, yes, we buried it in the backyard. And she said, well, is it back between these two trees where I've got a garden planted there now? She goes, yeah, it was right by there. So they're around. They pop around. And so this cat stuck around and plays every night, plays this little game every night with her existing cat, the skinny black cat, plays this game, and they've been doing it for years.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. So if you want to hear more fascinating stories just like this, then pick up a copy of Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail.
By Tim Link, Animal Psychic.
All right.
Now I want to open up the phone lines now. The number to call if you have questions for Tim tonight is 646-915-8522. Again, that number is 646-915-8522. Go ahead and call in if you've got questions for Tim. We've only got one more photo to talk about before we start taking calls, so let's go ahead and get to that. And that is the lovely CG.
Yeah.
Now, I sent this one to you just not very long. I just got this one just a little while ago. So CG's mom is concerned because CG keeps getting his little butt kicked. while he's outside. And she's wondering if it's her other cats doing it to him or if he's getting in tussles with somebody else or exactly what's going on, because she's a couple of times have been real serious and have required hospitalization for the cat. So she's very concerned about what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I'm not picking up anything from the other cats. I don't think he necessarily is buddy-buddies with your existing cats, but it's tolerable. It's a tolerable situation. I think he's getting in fights with one, if not two, cats outside. Now, I'm assuming CG did she say whether it was male or female? I'm getting a male energy. I don't know if she said
I believe CG's male.
Male, okay, yeah. I'm getting some male energy, and he's getting into tussles with other males. I don't think she said in her email whether he had his claws or if he was fixed.
And I think he's got his claws. I don't know whether he's been neutered or not.
Okay, then. Maybe if he hasn't been neutered, then that may be something that could help your situation. Obviously, they get a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more curious when they haven't been altered. That's one thing. Secondly, you've got to be careful of the cats that are outside, especially the ones that are, you know, feral cats in the neighborhood, because they will be very protective of their territory. They'll be very protective of other females around. So you got to be careful around that. But I am getting that he's getting into some tussles. I see another tabby in particular that appears to he's been getting into fights with. And the things he's shown me and the things CJG is telling me is he seems to, I don't think he goes out expecting to get into fights, but he tends to go back to the same places he always goes. You know, it's sort of like, I don't know how to explain it. It's when you know you've got your butt kicked there once before, so why would you go back there? But he does. He goes back to that same spot over and over again.
Right.
And I don't think it's for him to try to get revenge or fight with the other cats. It's more of he's very curious about what's going on around the area that he likes to hang out at.
Okay.
So I know it's hard to keep an indoor-outdoor cat or an outdoor cat confined to one area, but you may want to, you know, monitor where he's going, see if there's some ways you can keep him closer at hand, because it's not a good situation.
Right. Well, and if your backyard is fenced in, I would look into putting some kind of a barrier around the top so that they can't get outside the fence. My sister actually did that. She put netting up on the top of the house that's supported by a wire frame.
Perfect.
And the cats cannot get out of the yard anymore.
That's great.
So if you have you know, the financial means and a fence already up in your yard that you can do that with, then I would definitely consider it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a great idea. I think it's an awesome idea. And even if you can, if the cat spends most of its time inside, but you let it out periodically for the day, there are other things that you can do for your cat. You know, there are cages that can be that are fairly economical that can be assembled. You can put the cat in the cage. They can still be in the grass and still explore, but it's a caged in area. There are actually some runs that you can get, foldable runs that you can stretch out to, I believe it's up to 16 feet long, that allows them to run back and forth. So there are some things you can do, and it may be, even if you want to do that on a temporary basis to get him closer to the house, to stay closer to the house, it may be a very good idea to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, but keep an eye on him, though.
Right. Now, is it possible that he's getting into a tussle or two with a dog in the neighborhood? Because a couple of times she said that the injuries were really serious.
I haven't seen, there are dogs around from what he's showing me, but I didn't see it as far as the attacks are concerned. I see two other cats in particular. And, you know, cats getting into fights, they can cause a lot of damage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I know it's a challenge keeping him close at hand, but you need to talk to him and see if you can get him to stay closer and keep him monitoring
and
for a while.
Anybody that doesn't believe another cat can do some serious damage, just try giving one a bath. And you'll find out real quick how quick they can turn your arms into hamburger meat.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is all the photos, and we don't have any calls. So why don't you tell us what's new with you, Tim?
Oh, we've got all kinds of great stuff going on. We just put out our latest newsletter. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, please do. It's a free newsletter. It comes out the first of every month. And obviously it's called the Wagging Tails Newsletter. And the cool thing about the newsletter is not only does it tell you about upcoming events and workshops and lectures and speaking engagements and things that I'm doing, we've also we also in there have at least two articles, two things that can help you and your pets. So for this particular issue in March, we talk a little bit about aquariums, how to pick the right fish and how to set up your fish tank, and things you need to know about having a nice environment for your fish. And then we talk about vaccines for pets, and is it necessary to get pets vaccinated every single year? Some
right.
states, for instance, you know, allow rabies now, rabies vaccines to be given once every 3 years. And
okay.
Instead of on a yearly basis. And
right, because so many animals have such adverse reactions to the shots. Because I know an old boyfriend of mine had a dog, and every year when she got her shots, she would throw up for 2 days afterwards.
Yeah, so. Definitely so. Well, you know, I think one of the misconceptions people have, there's two misconceptions that I run across all the time. One is, they think they have to take their pets in annually and get all the shots at one time. So this is like rabies, Bordetella, distemper, all those at one time. And that's not true. You don't have to have them all at one time. Spread them out. You know, go in and get your rabies vaccination, and then come back 2 weeks later and get your distemper and, you know, Bordetella for your dogs. And, you know, do the feline leukemia and treatments in one of the sessions. So spread it out, because you're putting too many medications, too many toxins in their system at one time if you do it all at one time. So it's a little bit inconvenient to bring them back, but believe me, it will help the health of your pet. We've also seen where, like you said, Annette, animals getting too much vaccines into their system one time can make them sick. We've also seen them where it will trigger other ailments within them. It will actually trigger them because there's too much toxin inside of their body at one time. So spread it out, and that's one thing that you want to be careful of. The other is, you know, we talked about the rabies vaccine, and a lot of states are now offering the 3-year vaccine. Well, keep in mind, the 3-year vaccine is the same vaccine, the same quantity, quality, potency, everything's the same as the 1-year vaccine. It's just that the states have realized that though they legally want to track the animals have been vaccinated and make sure they have their tags, et cetera, they don't. The rabies issues here in the states aren't as dramatic as they were years ago, so it's not necessary to get it done every year. So a 3-year
right.
vaccine isn't like 3 times the equivalent in potency. It's the same exact shot you get as if you bring them in every year. It just allows that toxin, that vaccine that's in their system, to get flushed out quicker over the years and doesn't put that back in their system so quickly. So it's two misconceptions that people need to be aware of.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's also the
All right.
so that's, you know, that's the two things in this newsletter. It talks a little bit about the blog as well. And one last thing about the newsletter is starting this year we started putting promotions. Little discounts,
yeah.
little promotions, little things to say thank you for working with me and let me help you out with your animals. So this month, the March promotion is sign up for any 2 consultations and get a 3rd one for free.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, I do private consultations where we can deal with a particular pet that you have or pets. We do multiples as well, and we cover a variety of issues. A lot of things we cover on this show. Some that we don't. And if you want to have a private consultation with me to find out what's going on with your pet, to help with a behavior issue, a change in their health, If you've got an animal that's going through the transition process or has transitioned, you want to know how they're doing and what they need. If you have a lost animal and you want to see if you can bring it back home, these are things that I do and I handle in private consultations. And so for this month of March, sign up for two consultations. You can use them throughout the year, and you get a third one for free. And you can also use that free one to give as a gift or to a friend or relative if you wish. So it's a pretty good deal, I think. Yeah. So sign, go on my website and sign up for the newsletter.
Yeah, you never know what kind of bargains you'll find in that newsletter, plus a lot of good information. So let's talk about aquariums for a minute.
Sure.
I have had aquariums over the years, and some of them have been pretty successful, and some of them haven't. So, was it usually, because, you know, usually I just buy fish that are pretty and look good together, and that's not always the best thing, right?
No, definitely not. You've got, like with any pet you bring into your house, you have to do your homework ahead of time. You have to know, is it the right type of fish for what I'm wanting, and which fish get along well together. Now, fortunately, most of the aquarium shops, pet stores, fish stores, et cetera, have gotten pretty knowledgeable on which fish will do well together.
Right.
But, you know, if you put a community fish, a fish in there like a, you know, a grommy or a tetra, and you put that in with a very aggressive fish, say like a cichlid, they will not get along. And next thing you know, you'll have a cichlid in your tank, but you won't have a grommy or a tetra anymore. It'll be gone.
Right.
So you have to make sure that your aggressive fish are put in the same tank together in your community fish, like your grommies and tetras and guppies, et cetera, are put into the same type of tank.
I had a tank one time. I had about 10 fish in it. It was a 10-gallon tank, so I had 10 fish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And one of them was like a little ghost shrimp, and then I had a little catfish, and I had one of those little sucker fish that eats the algae off the sides. And
right, Costumus, sure.
Yeah, and so some... I had some neons, and I think I had a molly, and I had a blue gourami, all in the same tank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As time went on, my fish started to disappear. It come to find out, the gourami was eating them.
Yeah, because a gourami is an aggressive fish. Exactly. You got that right. So you do want to do your homework on that. And the other thing, you brought up a good point, is the size of the tank. A 10-gallon tank, you know, the old rule of thumb is 10 gallons equals 10 fish, just like a 20-gallon equals 20 fish. But it's actually, you should measure the inch of the fish. Because
right.
If you have a 2-inch fish, that equals 2 fish.
Okay,
so keep that in mind. So if you have, and you have to be careful of this, because some of the fish, like, say, an angelfish or a loach. Loach is a great example. Loach is a bottom feeder, and they can start off being less than an inch in size, and within a year they can grow, yeah, to 3, 4, 5, 6 inches. Probably not 6 inches, but we've got one that we've had in a 10-gallon tank that was probably about an inch when we got him. He's about 2.5 years old, and he is every bit of, I'd say, 5 inches right now.
Wow.
So... yeah, now bottom feeders are not quite as bad as, you know, the middle feeding fish or the top feeding fish. You know, you don't have to be quite as concerned about the length and the size they're going to get because they'll feed off the bottom. They'll feed the crumbs and leftovers and the things that are on the bottom of the tank. But, you know, you got to be careful with those things. Goldfish are a great example of that. You know, they can grow quite rapidly, quickly, and they can eat everybody else out of the tank. They won't be aggressive
right.
toward them, but they'll eat all the food where the other ones won't have any to eat.
Right.
So, got to be careful of that.
And I've also heard not to mix goldfish with your other tropical fish, because goldfish, now this I know, goldfish produce a slime on their bodies that clogs up the gills of other tropical fish. So it's really best not to have goldfish in a tank with your other tropical fish. If you're going to have goldfish, have them in a separate tank.
Well, yes, that is true, and they, you know, they produce heavy ammonia as well. So your tank's got to be cleaned more frequently, and the heavy amount of ammonia they transmit could kill off your other fish quickly as well. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. You've got to possibly put them in a separate tank all by themselves. So I think, you know, there's a lot to do, and this is just, you know, tropical fish. We haven't even gotten into the saltwater fish, which is a whole another ball game right there.
Those are a lot harder to keep alive.
A lot harder to keep alive, a lot more expensive, very beautiful. So you have to be dedicated to your saltwater tank. You got to test that pH frequently, and, you got to stay on top of it. But, you know, aquariums can be great. They are a lot of work. And, you know, one of the things we found out, we've got a 7-gallon, a 10-gallon, a 20, and a 27. So we've got a lot of fish tanks in this house. And what we found out is, though it's great to start off with a very small tank, it sort of makes sure you like the, you know, like dealing with fish and like having them there. But the challenge with the small tank is it gets dirty quicker. So you're actually cleaning it a lot more frequently than you would a larger tank. So, my big suggestion.
I was just starting to say, I've also heard that fish will not outgrow their tanks. Is that necessarily true?
Well, they tend to grow to the size of their environments, but I think the truth behind it is it's based on how many fish you have in that tank. You know, if, like, we go back to the loach analogy, you know, if that loach continues to grow, it won't outgrow that tank by itself. But if you have, you know, 10 other fish in there with it or 8 other fish in there with it, now you've outgrown it because you've got too many fish per inch in that aquarium.
Okay.
So make sure you know how big they're going to grow.
What about having, like, an outdoor little goldfish pond? Do you have any experience with that? Do you have any knowledge of that?
Yeah, it's the same type of thing. You want to make sure you have a hardy fish that can deal with the elements. That's a big part of it. You got to make sure you keep your water temperature at a regular consistency. So if you're in an area of the country that has a lot of changes in the weather, you've got to make sure that you're weatherproofing and getting the proper heating elements in there and cooling elements to make sure that it stays properly balanced and the temperature stays proper. You also have to be careful. One of the things that you definitely need in an outdoor pond is a UV filter, UV to kill off some of the excess algae, because if you don't have a UV filter in there, next thing you know, you're going to have an algae pond, which is not good. It'll choke out the fish. So you want to make sure you get a good, proper UV filter in there as well. And last but not least, a little pond is an awesome thing to have, but it's an awesome feeding tank for raccoons and possums and all of our other wonderful critters out there. So make sure that you're keeping it, you know, protected with a net or some wire mesh that will detract the animals, the other critters getting into your nice, beautiful koi and eating them. So, so once again, you know, do your homework. That's the key thing. Do your homework before you do all these things.
Okay. All right, now Tim's website is wagging-tails.com, and that's tails, T-A-L-E-S. So y'all check out his website, sign up for his newsletter. Now Sonny is asking in the chat room, can pet psychics work with fish? Can you talk to fish?
Yes, we can. Actually, yeah, it's any animal out there, and you know, it's basically just we're connecting on a telepathic connection, and we're centering ourselves and opening ourselves up to have these conversations. So, you know, we all can talk to anything, any living thing out there. You know, it's all energy. You just have to center yourself and open yourself up to it. And just so happens my gift and my focus is on animals, and that's what I do. And so we've had a lot of success with determining which fish should go into which tank and who to separate when, and to actually get some fish calmed down when they're being too aggressive with the other fish in the tank.
Okay.
So.
All right. Now, Babette in our chat room. Babette is my good buddy. She's asking a question that I think is quite interesting, and it's also a little bit funny. She says, what's the smallest animal that you can talk to? Like, can you ask ants to leave a picnic or tell mosquitoes to go away?
Yes, you can. There, size doesn't matter. It's all the same energy, as I mentioned, and the what you're wanting to accomplish. So we've had, there's been instances where people have actually asked, I have not done this personally, but people have actually asked termites to leave their mm-hmm. home and get, you know, here's the situation. I know you're trying to feed. I understand that, but you're damaging my house. I honor you, but I need you to leave, and this will make me very happy, and I'll set up a separate feeding area for you. And this person actually set up a separate, way away from their house, set up a separate old wooden area full of railroad ties, untreated railroad ties, and set up a little place. And next thing you know, the termites were gone. But I have in my new book coming out, Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, plug, plug, plug. There's a wonderful story in there about Pepe. Pepe is the praying mantis. And it tells you a little bit about my conversations with Pepe the praying mantis. So pick up the book when it's available, and you can learn how learn my experience with talking to a praying mantis.
Interesting, interesting.
I just love it. I can just plug this book in all different ways, can't I?
You sure can. All right, well, now it is, we still don't have any calls. This is a first for us. So, again, if you want to call in, the number to call is 646-915-8522, 646-915-8522. Now, Gracie is the one that owns Nova. She's in the chat room finally. And she says, what is my cat trying to tell me?
What is your cat trying to tell you? Let's see what Nova's got going on. Well, he seems to be unhappy with something. So I guess my question to Gracie, is there something that's changed in the household or the routine? Because he seems he's really perturbed about something. So there, he's giving me the word change. I'm kind of trying to find out if there's a change in the routine, the household, or the food. Because there's something he's not too happy about.
Something that's changed that he's not happy with.
Yeah, he's not happy with. There's something going on, some routine change, it feels like food to me.
Okay.
He's not too happy about
it. Okay. I'm waiting to see what Gracie says. She hasn't put anything in the chat yet, so we shall see.
Yeah, I think there's some change. So, and, you know, as we know, our animals love their routines. You know, they're just like us. We love our routines as well, though we'll never admit it. We always say we're spontaneous and, you know, carefree, and that's not true. I want my coffee when I get up in the morning, dang it. So, you know, so with our pets, you know, but pets love their routines, and that's when we go back to, you know, the first of the show when we were talking about training, getting them into a routine, getting them into a set plan and a set schedule. The best thing you can do for your pets. And when you break that routine, whatever it may be, it could be as simple as changing their food, changing your working hours, changing the furniture in the house. It can be anything. If you haven't discussed that and let them know what's going on, you're going to end up with some issues. They're going to be upset with you.
Okay.
So be aware of changes in your household.
Okay. Well, while we wait for her to say what's going on, let's go ahead and talk about Cuffy. Because, you know, we got to talk about him every month.
Oh, yes. On the bottle, falling off the wagon again.
Yeah, I just don't know what to do with him. I'd do an intervention, but I just don't know.
Has he had any knee issues? Is there anything going on? Mm-hmm. Has he tweaked anything recently?
Not that I know of.
Okay, keep an eye on that back left leg, back left knee.
Okay.
Give it some energy later or something. I don't know. It feels kind of tender to me, and I'm not sure if he's tweaked it or if he's got something going on in there. I don't think it's anything major. It just feels kind of sore to me. Some, you know, he's a roughhouser, so I'm wondering if he's done a little tweaking in it. But give him a little love and give him a little energy later on that area if you get a chance.
Okay.
So has he gotten used to the bathroom floor yet?
Oh, he'll go in there, but he still don't really like it. He's not as he doesn't sit outside the door and whine anymore.
Okay, all right.
So at it.
So. There you go. So baby steps. We've got a little bit accomplished.
He'll walk in while, you know, people are taking care of their business and allow himself to be petted, but as soon as you stop, he turns around and runs back out. So he's still not crazy about it. So
yeah. Well, he's
okay.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, so that's good. That's a good baby step for him. That's a big accomplishment for him because we know how much he hates going in there.
Right. Okay. Now, my friend Sonny in the chat room has a dog that's named Rusty, and he's 12 years old, and she wants to know anything you can tell her.
I would get Rusty on some, if you haven't introduced any sort of supplements for Rusty, like glucosamine, chondroitin, things that will build up the skeletal areas. This would be knees, joints, back in particular, hips. If you haven't done that already, please go ahead and I would highly suggest you doing that because I'm getting some stiffness and getting a little bit of soreness. I'm getting a little bit more in my back than I am anything, and I'm not sure if he's had any issues with that or if he's prone to that, but I think that would be a good thing to do. And who Rusty's saying something about a visit. Is there I'm curious to see if there's somebody that has visited or planning to visit, or if there's a new person in the household or in the life. Because I'm getting he's saying he's new person. Looks like female to me.
Okay. Not that I'm aware of, but we shall wait and see. Sonny says, yes, he has soreness. He's part dachshund. That could be part of the back problems. I hear dachshunds have a lot of back trouble.
Yeah.
And says, no, not lately. No visitors lately.
Okay. So there is a, I see a female visit. I don't know. I can't tell. It feels like a new person. So there may be a new female. And this could be, anything. He's not really giving me anything in particular, but... And so, yes, dachshunds do have obviously issues with their backs and legs, hindquarters as well, but their backs in particular. So get started on that glucosamine chondroitin MSN type thing. There's a wonderful product called Cosequin, and Cosequin can be go to my website, wagging-tails.com. There is a tab there for useful links. And there's a couple of places I recommend on there, Pet Meds and a few other ones that you can order online, get a good discount on this product, these products, and others. And Cosequin's nice because it's a nice chewable tablet. It smells like liver, so they tend to like it and has all the good stuff in it. And I don't get paid to endorse it, so. But if folks at Cosequin are listening, email me at timlink@wagging-tails.com. We can talk.
Okay. All right. Now, we do have another couple of questions in the chat. I am hoping that some of these people will call in. So, 646-915-8522. Babs, I know you can call in. Please call.
Call in. 915-8522. That's right. Call in. Our bite is just as bad as our bark, so just come on in.
I never bite anybody unless they say pretty please.
That's right.
let's see. Where was that other? Okay, now, the worst radio show ever in the chat room says, their cat, I don't even know if that's a man or a woman, says their cat Mervis is missing. Can you tell if he's still alive?
I know
you don't.
Yeah, the lost pets, That's a little bit more of a challenge. I think he's been gone for a while now. That's what I'm picking up. You know, that's a hard one. I'm not feeling very good about it, but I don't want to say, you know, definitively right now. You know, the lost animal cases I work on, you know, probably one of only a handful of animal communicators out there that work with lost animals, and definitely one of the only a few that does map dowsing to locate lost animals. And the reason behind it is so intricate, the time it takes to find out what's going on with the animal and communicate with them and then track them down via map dowsing. It's a very time-consuming type of thing. We've been very successful with it. If you visit the website, wagging-tails.com, there's a section in there about lost pets, and it tells you what we do to find these lost animals and the success we've had, and we've found them, you know, all over the world, basically. So, you know, there's never any guarantee because there's so much that goes into it, and the longer they're out there, the more they have to be concerned about, you know, themselves and getting the proper food and shelter and, you know, taking care of themselves. So their time they spend with me and the amount of energy that they put out there for me gets more and more difficult.
Okay.
So I wish I had a better answer for you. I'm not feeling overly confident about it, and I'm wondering if he's been gone for a long time. But if you'd like to know a little bit more and maybe see if there's an opportunity to locate where he's at, drop me a line. Visit the website and drop me a line. I'd be glad to talk to you a little bit more about it.
Okay. And we finally have a caller. I'm so excited.
Hello?
Area code 731, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Hey.
My name is John.
Hi, John.
Hi, John. How are you doing tonight?
I'm all right. I wanted to ask, how do we know you're not just a lying pet psychic pretending?
Okay.
The lying pet psychic, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm a lying. You know, it's like lion, I think is what he was trying to say. Maybe he felt one of my spirit guides was the lion, and I hate
Should
to tell
be.
Him. I think my spirit guides are actually the coyote and the hawk, but that's a whole different show that we can do. But, well, John, sorry about that, buddy. Hope you don't have any pet problems down the road. I wish I could help you out.
No, all right. Now, since my friend Babette cannot call in, I'm going to go ahead and ask you her question. She has a little Shih Tzu named Nikki that died on October 24th. And she's wanting to know if you can read anything from her. I don't know exactly how old she was. I do know that she was very, very old.
Yeah. That's funny. I'm real curious, has she gotten another dog or plans to get another dog? That would be a big question because what I'm getting back is everything's fine now, much better. Much better is the words I'm getting from her, and she said get on with it is the words, and she's showing me another small dog, so I'm real curious, is she considering it, or has she gotten another puppy in the household? Because if you have, or if you, well, better yet, if you haven't and you're considering it, now would be a good time. I think you've got the blessing to do that, and she'd love to be able to come back and you know, do some teachings and leave her imprint back for a new one in the house.
Okay.
But much better. All is well. Much better is the word I keep getting.
Okay. Because I know that the dog was pretty old. I know she was in a lot of pain. Now, Babette says that they have not gotten one yet. They feel it's too soon for them.
Okay. Well, she's saying get on with it. So, so when you're... when you're ready, you know that you'll know the time. And as we all know, our animals pick us out. We never pick them out. So, you know, you'll know the time. It'll come to you. You may just run upon it without being even expecting it.
Okay. Okay. And she says she was looking at puppy rescue just a few days ago, so... but you say that Nikki is telling her she needs another.
Yeah, get on with it. Yeah, if it's been crossing your mind at any point, she wants you to know to get on with it, to go for it. So, and looking at puppy rescue, great thing. You know, go on to visit petfinder.com. It's a great place to go to find animals that are in local shelters and rescue groups. You can find a lot of purebreds on there as well, or you can get a wonderful little mix. And the cool thing about petfinder.com is you can go in there and you can search for the type of animal you want. You can put in your zip code. You can put in any parameter you want for the animal, and they'll pull up the right and perfect animals for you. And it's a great
okay.
place.
Very, very cool. All right. Well, since we don't have any other calls, let's go ahead and wrap things up. So tell us again your website and what's new with you. And
yeah, take a look at the website. It's wagging-tells.com because it's all about the tells the animals tell us. On there you can sign up for the free e-newsletter. It comes out every month, has wonderful promotions, tells you a little bit about everything that I've got going on, more information about my book that's coming out, and always helpful hints about to help you out with your animals. So there's usually two or three of them in there that are really good things to know about your animals and things that can help you out. So take a look at that. And one more selfless plug. We've got May 1st is the national launch of my new book, Wagging Tells, Every Animal Has a Tell. And it's a collection of 32 stories of animals that I've actually worked with and have helped out or have found or have helped through the transition process. So it's a nice, fun, light read, but also there are stories in there that will tug at your heart. So keep an eye on that. Go to my website to keep an update on that. It should be available for pre-order here in the next couple of weeks. And then we'll be going on tour. We're going to be going out on tour in May to we've got a few cities, or six cities actually picked out right now. We'll be coming to Dallas and out to Denver, mm-hmm. Phoenix, New York City, and San Diego, and obviously here in Atlanta, where I'm at, doing some signings and speaking engagements and getting the book out there. So keep an eye
okay.
on that.
Well, send me a heads up when you're going to be in Dallas. I might be able to make it.
Excellent. Come up to the big yeah. city.
That's right. Might.
Yeah.
That's a big might.
We'll definitely keep you posted. We're trying to nail down locations and dates as we speak. And so we're real excited about it. The books turned out very well, and we'll definitely get you out a copy as soon as we can, Annette, so we can
okay.
talk about it not only on this show but also on your other show.
I haven't done that show in a really long time. I'm thinking about incorporating it in with this one.
Okay.
So, thinking about it. Don't know. Don't know yet.
Well, we'll let you keep it on suspense. And for everybody listening and in the chat rooms, as well as the one, I know there are a lot of people that download your show afterwards. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, tune in next month. It'll be our one-year anniversary that I've been on
yeah.
On here with you, and we're going to put together something special just for your listeners. So tune back in, get back into the website, My Tarot Dreams. Visit me at wagging-tells.com, and keep an eye on that. We'll do something special just for the listeners of the show.
Absolutely. I'm feeling free stuff coming.
My favorite word.
Free is good. All right, so y'all check out Tim's website. And Tim, thank you so much. Babette especially wanted to say thank you so much. And thank you for being on the show tonight. I appreciate you as always. And you will be back on April 7th for our special one-year anniversary show of Pet Talk with Tim Link. And good night, everybody. Thank you for listening. And I will see you all next week.
Good night. Behind them breathless underneath.
We're not there. We no longer care.